transforming power of the Word. You know, the Word of God, I think, as I think of the Word of God, His Word is a creative Word. You know, God spoke it and it happened. So as we read the Bible, as His Word speaks, there's things that He wants to speak to us and make it creative. His Word is trustworthy. You can bank on it, even though you're like, man, I don't know how in the world that's going to be. I know, God, You say I'm loved and I'm complete in You. Man, I don't feel very loved and I don't feel very complete. You can bank on God's Word. It's trustworthy. I think about God's Word as being transcendent. It's above and beyond our comprehension, right? Isaiah says, His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. That there's a word that we're like, man, what in the, why is it like that, God? This word is a world is a mess, and I can't see how You're going to navigate this for Your goodness and for a good future. God, I trust. God, if I don't understand it, it's not because it's not a good word. It's because I don't understand it. But You're trustworthy. I know that it's going to be. I think about Jesus being called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God's Word. When you talk about the power of God's transforming Word, it's with us. It's not only in front of us and behind us, above us and below us. It is with us. We get to walk in this thing called a Christian life in the image of God on this planet. God with us. I just might, as we talk about the transforming power of the Word, my prayer is that you would grow in your awareness of God talking to you. I can't tell you how many people say, man, I don't hear God. I pray and I don't hear anything back. And we talked before about just a sensitivity of our person, of our spirit that would be sensitive to hear God talking to us in a still small voice. God shouting His glory of creation. God wanting to redeem, as I looked over that burnt city, to say, this is not what's meant to be. God, Your glory is going to be present here. Your God's glory is going to cover this. God, Your glory is going to rebuild something good out of this. As we look at the transforming power of the Word, God's Word will always require faith to respond to it. It's not just about academic or something, read and understand and do a Greek study on what this word originally meant, although those things are really helpful. It's what do you do with that? I hear people, they read a book or they see things that they haven't, a book that they've been challenged by, and it's good and right. And my question is, how is that going to change how you live your life? How is that truth going to change how you treat people in your relationships, in your walk? And how does what you read change what you think of God, change what you see about yourself? How does it change the way you live? When we talk about transformation, we're talking about spiritual transformation. We're not talking about physical transformation. I think of the classic, which is really metamorphosis, right? The caterpillar to the butterfly. It's kind of like, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we're just a bunch of caterpillars. We're waiting. But God's transformation is on the inside. It changes us, changes our perspective, changes our attitudes, changes how we talk. It's not a home makeover. You know, a lot of home fixing shows, you know, the remodel shows that are out there. It's not a beauty makeup. It's not a makeover. It's something that's transformative. It's something that changes us. It's as we talk about spiritual transformation, it is not a instantaneous, right? It's not like a light switch. It is a process. It's a process that we step into. And what is that process all about? Spiritual transformation is that process of us having Christ's image formed in us. It's about us becoming like Christ. And talking about that's bigger than a metamorphosis. we could say from a caterpillar to a butterfly, something that seems impossible. But it's not us just looking on the outside, but something that's formative in our attitudes, in our thinking. Galatians 4:19 says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." You know, and I know Paul never had a baby, but I've been around my wife 3 different times. And if any woman could say, you know, let's just have this thing, especially on your firstborn, it takes hours. It was a good 24 hours of my wife moaning and screaming, and sometimes I could touch her, and other times I knew that I wasn't going to touch her. And she says, that process of Paul wanting the birth of people, birthed into that, look, a childbirth of Christ being formed as he prayed for and longed for the churches that he planted, and seeing what they would look like, what they were doing, to see those attitudes be created. Romans 8:29, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed," what? "To the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." There's a struggle in formation. There's a struggle that goes, and said there's a process, and there's a struggle that happens in it. There's an intention about the person who wants to be changed. There's an intention about those people that go before us, those people that are mentors to us, those people that have Christ more formed in them than we do, like Paul, that we care about. We want to see them grow. We want to see them walk in wholeness and make decisions that reflect trust in God. And there's an intention that God has. And that's what's hard to imagine, is that before we were born, God had an intention for us to carry the image of his Son. As we think about spiritual formation, that's the goal, to be like Christ. To be like him in his attitude and his love. Ephesians 5 verses 1 and 2. "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." As we walk out that imitation, it's like, you know, I've got stinky attitudes that need changed. I need a perspective. Sometimes I see my bad attitudes, and sometimes I don't. God wants to change and make us aware of those things. As the more that Jesus is formed in us, the more that we reflect his image, the more the world around us gets touched with the love of God. As you and I walk out that intention, that formation that God wants to create in us, As I think about that process of being formed, having Christ formed in me, it starts with seeing a renewed mind. It's critical, because what we think is what we end up doing. Even below what we think are attitudes and motivations. Sometimes, as my wife and I talk, I used to give her a hard time, and I try not to give her a hard time, but I usually can identify and give words to my feelings. Or sometimes I'll give words before I even understand my feelings. But I will ask Jackie, I say, "Hey, you seem a little uptight today." "I'm not uptight. Everything's fine." And then about a half an hour later, he says, "You know, you're right. This thing is bothering me." There's an underline that we aren't even aware of, that our emotions. And I've experienced the same thing. I'll come to Revelation and say, "Man, I'm kind of stressed out. I don't got my sermon done yet." And she goes, "I know." "What do you mean you know? I didn't even tell you this yet." "I could tell by your behavior what you're bugged about, or that there's something bothering you and that you're stressed out." Being transformed is having our mind renewed. Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of you guys want to know what God's will is for your life? Yeah. It starts with having Christ formed in us so that we understand. It's like, oh, that's a priority. On Friday, had I looked at that decision to go up to the gates for the day from an earthly standpoint, I wouldn't have gone. I was like, why would I do that and stress my life out and go home and be cranky? I know. It was spirit. It was God says, man, you want to help somebody? I'm going to give you an opportunity. I drop it in your lap. You get to go do this. It was like, it was obvious. It's like, man, I prayed about it. Here's the answer. I get to go. Not only did I get to go and encourage the people up there, but I got to a great relationship as we drove up and back with another pastor here in town. What a gift. What a gift. It's I think about that renewing of my mind. Something, and I know this may be a little touchy-feely for some of us, but I guess I'm getting old, so I'm getting a little more touchy-feely. But I just met with some friends who just talk about being aware of your feelings. And a lot of times guys have like one, two-word feeling. Boy, that really makes me mad. I'm frustrated. You know, I expand and I realize that what's behind it is fear. Did you know when you get angry, it's because of fear? I could be fearful that I'll fail, and so I get angry. Don't tell me to do something new, or I went ahead and did something new, but now I'm fearful I'm going to fail, so I get really cranky. Anybody tells me a better way to do it, just highlights the fact that I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Fear of failure. Fear of what somebody thinks of you. Fear that somebody is going to really know what you're like. All those things trigger when people just like push away. Sometimes us guys maybe grew up in environments where we had a very angry dad. And so we have had that exampled. There's fear behind it. Being aware of fear. Being aware of my sadness. What am I sad about? Did you know sometimes it looks like I'm frustrated, but maybe really I'm just sad. I'm just sad that things didn't turn out like I wanted them to. I'm sad maybe that somebody wasn't able to come and join me in something. I might feel lonely. That's a weird one. That we can be in an interaction and be mad at somebody and poking at them. Really, we're just lonely for their company. That seems like a contradiction, doesn't it? To be lonely for somebody's company, but yet be mad at them, which what? Usually pushes people away. To be acknowledged as, you know what? I'm just feeling lonely. You know, and I think about how that, for me, grew. We were at home, and the kitchen is like, did you know that's like the number one room for relationship building? In the kitchen, talking, and Jackie's busy doing something, and I wanted to hug, and so I came in and hug, and she gave me just like the hug that said, I'm hugging you, but now leave me alone. I got things to do. And I just say, I just want to tell you, I said, I'm coming for a hug because I feel lonely. For me, just being able to express that and admit that, guess what she did? She dropped everything, and she came back in for the real hug. To say, I hear you. I hear you. As we have a renewed mind, it's like, oh my goodness. Because it does two things. As I become more aware of my own feelings, guess what? I'm tuned in to other people's feelings. To be aware of their loneliness. I think about just even expressing, and it all comes out like anger or pushing away, but I've realized that some of that has been, I've been hurt by somebody. And so it causes me to put up walls and to step away from relationship and withdraw. When really, the feeling behind it is just hurt. You hurt my feelings. I was hurt by you when you said that or when you did this. guilt, feeling clammy and not willing to explore things. Now here's a big one, shame. To realize that I feel shamed of what I didn't do, or shamed what I should have done. Shame of a past. Shame of who I am. As I am conformed to the image of God, how I look at myself, how I walk through that stuff, it doesn't mean that those things don't go away. But as I renew my mind, I'm able to respond to them and say, "What? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not condemned, Scott. If you're feeling shame, that ain't coming from God. That's coming from that wrong thinking, that renewed thinking that needs to happen. Seeing Christ formed in us is the work of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:12-13. Continue to work out your salvation, fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purposes. I think it's so fascinating that just in those short two verses, we see two parts of it, right? We see us working out our salvation with fear and trembling, which really is saying that I know that I am not a good image bearer of Christ at times. I know that I'm not what I should be, and I want to imitate God. Would you help me imitate your kindness and do things and work through my nervousness or my fear and continue to do what's right? But at the same time, as I do that, who is it that accomplishes it? It's not me. I mean, do you think that caterpillar was like, I'm going to be a butterfly. No, that was God's design as He draws out that change that happened so that as they come out of that cocoon, something beautiful and colored. God wants to transform us. That beauty that comes out in God's image and our attitudes and our actions and how we love is the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that it's in God's hands. You know, it's like He just says, "Hey, Scott, just show up, will you? Just show up. I'll do the good work. I'll do the hard work. I'll open your eyes to see things that you couldn't see before." And Lord, I trust You're working in me and through me. We do not know the impact our image bearing has. You know, we talk about, I always encourage people that leave a company. We always say, what do we say? Don't burn bridges. Right? You treat your people with respect. Even though it's like, you know, I don't care if I ever come to that back this stinking place again. I am out of here. You know, and then a month later, the company folds. And you're like, man, I need a job. Wouldn't that be terrible to have to go back? What would you say? We talk about that attitude is what we do is we walk out Christ's image. We never know the impact it's going to have. We never know the influence that what we say, what we do, how we act. Well, we just walk out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's working in and through us. As we trust Him and say, okay, Lord, I'm not sure what this is about, but I think I need to behave like this. I need to do this thing. I need to step out. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him to teach us. We need Him to counsel us. We need Him to direct us. We need Him to advocate for us. We need Him to lead us into truth. And here's the fascinating about that is God can only lead us to a point that we're ready to handle. It's like, hey, don't worry about this down here. Just do this in front of you. Trust me, I'm gonna share something with you, Scott. I'm gonna share something with you that I need you to trust me for, that you need to trust me in. And as you walk this out, it's gonna require faith, and it's like baby steps, right? Baby steps. God is faithful. He will always lead us beyond what we can do on our own. That will always require faith, but He'll never give us the whole picture. Right? I think about a little first grader or second grader learning addition and subtraction. Would it do any good to tell them about physics? It's like, there's like, what are you talking about? Physics, man, I'm just trying to learn 1 + 1 and learn my simple addition and subtraction and taking apples and putting 2 here and adding 3 more to here and how many would you have? And it wouldn't make sense. They don't have the desire. They don't see the application of it. God's the same way. Because He loves us, He knows how to teach us. And say, okay, Lord, as we enter that process of spiritual formation, that we would recognize that God is a loving God. God won't give us things that He hasn't resourced us to walk in. And I just almost said, God won't give us more than we can handle. Do you know that's not in the Bible? In fact, the reverse of it is in the Bible. God will give us more than we can handle. Why? So that we'll trust Him. We'll trust Him. Because if it's something I can handle, I'm not dependent on God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that says, trust me. Trust me in what I'm doing. Lord, help me to be responsible for what I have today so that I'll be ready for what You're going to give me tomorrow. I don't want to stop growing. My mom passed away this last spring at, how old was she? 90 years old. 90 years old. And she, let me try to think about that. Maybe she's 91. Yeah, I have to think. I have to reveal. I have to add 30 years to my age to figure out how old my mom was. So she was 91. And do you know, she kept saying, I'm still trying to grow in my faith. I'm still learning to God. I'm still growing in my character. I was amazed, and she showed, her attitude showed that. And I'm thinking, I'm going to follow that example because Christ was being formed in her. I want to be that person to my kids and encouragement to them. The Holy Spirit knows when we're ready to step into the next deeper understanding. John 3:6 says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. It's that spiritual formation, not physical formation, spiritual formation. It's something that I think a lot of self-help books do. Great wisdom in self-help books, but by their title, it's the Holy Spirit is not included in that. They're called self-help books. And I don't know about you, but I've tried some self-help. And it works for a day or a week. In fact, we went out to a celebration with friends of ours for a birthday, and they shared digital fitness. I do Map My Run, not to do a shout out for a brand, but there was a related app just for what you eat. I said, well, what are you guys doing? I said, well, yeah, I can scan any barcode and it'll go ahead and calculate how many calories that is and what my salt intake and what my fat intake for the day. I'm thinking, that is so cool. I said, which one is that? And I logged in and added the app to mine, and I'm thinking, again, that's outside stuff. Those are things from the outside. They're great things that we can do and that will maybe change our eating habits, but I want to change who I am on the inside. And it requires the Holy Spirit. Without me, what did Jesus say? You can do nothing. If the Holy Spirit doesn't engage in my transformation, it isn't going to happen. Spiritual transformation is just not a matter of working harder, but of yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, God, man, I'm not even sure what change needs to happen, but God, I'm going to trust that you know the next process that you need to take me in to grow. Seeing Christ formed in us embraces the mystery. What I mean about that is Psalms 139, 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. In Psalms 139, we often quote around just the sanctity of life and the preciousness of that little baby that was created. You know, and I look back to it when my wife and I, when we were first pregnant, somebody gave us a book called A Child is Born. And I didn't realize, but it's clear back in 1965, they got a camera in there and they saw and took photos of the baby as it was born. And a little tiny child with his thumb up to his mouth, his eyes not even fully formed, but you can see it's a human being with a little cute nose and chin. And week by week, you could say, oh my goodness, that's growing inside of you. And the weird guy then, I used to lay my hand on my wife's womb, on Jackie's womb, and I'd talk to a little stinker. Like many of you did, I'd say, oh man, I love you. I know you're in there. I know you're growing. I know you're getting fed by your mom. I want you to recognize my voice when you come out of there, that you would see me. I would sing little silly songs to that baby, not knowing at the time whether it was a boy or a girl. Precious, fearfully, and wonderfully made. I think about that, embracing the mystery. That's what's happening in our spiritual formation. We're fearfully and wonderfully being made into the image of Christ. That's an amazing, amazing process. You know, all those muscles that get formed, the nervous system that transpires, the lungs that are developed, the respiratory, the vascular system, the skeleton, the little fingers, the hands and feet. All those processes that are being generated in a spiritual formation as well, that God is creating us to be fully functioning Christ followers, made in His image, fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a profound mystery that we can embrace without fully understanding it. You know, doctors are still trying to understand the miracle of the creation of babies and brains and how things are impacted by them. We don't have to understand it. We just can embrace that, God, you're the one who's doing good work. I'm not sure where this fits in, but I know, as true as your word is and as the power of your word, that there's a transformation that happens as I yield to your Holy Spirit. Seeing Christ formed in us engages spiritual disciplines. We talk about the goal of being Christ, seeing Christ formed us is new thinking, is being empowered by the Holy Spirit in the mystery that is played out in invisible ways, things behind the scenes. But I just think about in that child that's being formed in the womb, it's really important what the mom eats. It's really important of her nutrition, of what she has. I remember my wife, she loves chocolate. Not just chocolate, but dark chocolate, which I can have a little tiny bit of. She just like, if she will not eat anything in the day so that she can have chocolate. I will not skip a meal for chocolate. But as she ate chocolate, she recognized that little baby starting to hop around. She would eat chocolate before bed, relax, and chocolate, imagine that. She could sleep, but that little baby couldn't sleep. He got a taste of that chocolate in. Woo-ha! Yeah! Me, I'm sawing logs, and she's having that little alien inside of her doing the dance. What we eat, that nutrition that we eat, impacts a baby. As we talk about spiritual formation, what we eat, what we take in impacts the formation of our, that spiritual transformation, that creation of Christ being formed in us. What we take in, just like a person who's has alcohol or drugs impacts a little baby in ways that we don't fully understand. And some things that we do, the things that we do with our mind, the things that we do with our choices, the things we do, even anxiety shows up in babies. That what we do, what are we feeding? And we talk about spiritual disciplines, really about it's about nutrition. Nutrition for our spiritual formation. It's important that we create the conditions and environments that develop, help develop our spiritual transformed lives. It's important that we do practical things that we can do in our day, in our week, in the rhythms of life, that set up things that create great environments and conditions for that spiritual, if you will, baby that's being birthed to form, that comes out not deformed, but fully functional. Practicing spiritual disciplines is how we worship God. You know, the temptation is like, read your Bible. Well, check that off. Pray. Check that off. Go to church. Check that off. The temptation is to look like a list of to-do, like you're earning brownie points, and if you get enough, God gives you the attaboy and the gold star, the smiley face on your paper. No. If that's why I'm doing it, it isn't going to grow my transformation. It may address my guilt or my shame, but in really shallow ways. When I pursue God and I do those things, it's got to be because I want to worship God. And as we talk about spiritual, it's like, am I eating right for my little baby that's formed because I love this baby, I care about this baby? Jackie had to give up chocolate. She had to give up coffee. Especially in, you know, when she started breastfeeding, to be cognitive of that, that it was impacting the development of her child. As I look at my life, it's like, what am I doing that's impacting the formation of Christ in me? What am I eating? What am I watching? What am I thinking? How am I responding to things? What am I doing with my free time? How am I serving? Those spiritual disciplines, Romans 12:1, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Spiritual disciplines have been talked about since the early church. Because they were some thinkers. There's some. I am not a deep thinker. I can respond and say, whoa, that was a good idea. Wow, I never thought about that before. So there's some guys that have gone before and really think through this stuff. And it's really helpful. Here's some authors and some and that describe some spiritual disciplines, things that they've seen critical in spiritual transformation. The first one that I'm sure a lot of us heard of is by Richard Foster, called The Celebration of Disciplines. And he divides into three different major categories. Talks about an inward discipline, some outward disciplines, and some corporate disciplines. And the categories he talks about inward disciplines is meditation, you know, and prayer, and fasting, and study, and those outward things of simplicity, and solitude, and submission, and service, and those corporate things as we confess our sins to each other, as we come and worship together, as we hear God and get guidance from other wise counsel in the body of Christ, and as we come together and celebrate. Jack Hayford was also, had come up with some great similar and some different categories of spiritual discipline in his book, Living the Spirit-Formed Life, Growing in the 10 Principles of the Spirit-Filled Discipleship. And it's funny, I think if you knew Jack Hayford, he says nothing simply. He has a lot of run-on sentences, but very intelligent. But I love the thing he talked about, committed, things that you can do to commit to hearing God's. And each of these categories goes into ways, specific ways, as you and I practice and really want to discover what spiritual disciplines look like. Living in the power of the baptism, celebrating the Lord's table. Several of them talk about communion, what we do here once a month, that it doesn't have to be just then, but the meaning behind it. And I love this one that's different, is walking in the spirit of forgiveness. That is a spiritual formation. To be able to... How many guys ever been offended? Anybody been offended? How many remember an offense that happened over a year ago? Come on, be honest. How many remember an offense that happened over 5 years ago? Walking in the spirit of forgiveness. There's not a shortage of applications of that, right? But there's things that will prevent us from being spiritually transformed in the likeness of Christ. Another one we talk about, you know, feeding on the Word of God, and then maintaining integrity of heart. You know, I talked about my being aware of my feelings. That's integrity. Say, I'm not angry at you. I'm just hurt. Right? Because one is saying, hey, you're the reason why I'm mad. No, I'm hurt. Or I'm lonely. Or I feel shame. And that highlighted when you said that, that I didn't measure up. And then Spiritual Discipline Handbook by Adele Colhan. Oh, Calhoun, excuse me. Part one, and there's seven parts in big categories, you know, worship. Opening myself to God. Say, God, what do you want to highlight? You know, that takes bravery for spiritual transformation. Just like when you ask somebody, hey, what kind of friend am I? What kind of spouse am I? What kind of parent am I? Really opening up to God and say, God, what kind of child am I? Where am I reflecting who you are? I love that. Part three was relinquishing the false self, which is a little bit what I talked about. Being aware of how I'm hiding behind this image that I want people to see or that I think I want to be, but I'm not. You know, sharing my life with others, you know, again, hearing God's word and then incarnate the love of Christ, you know, life, what did Jesus, the Word became flesh and walked among us. Those things. And then seeing Christ formed in us really requires community. Did you know that I am an amazing guy when I don't hang out with anybody? I personally, when I'm by myself, I have no problems with me. I get along really well. But it's in relationship, right? That's when you find out that you've got some things that you're hanging on to that you need to let go of. That you need to understand God created us for relationship. And we will not be transformed into the likeness of Christ apart from community. We won't. Because we need each other. We need relationship to help create those conditions that create spiritual transformation. You got to know you have an issue before you will be aware of God's transforming power. That's why I love marriage, because I feel like it's like I am a different man because of my marriage. I've changed in ways that I never even knew that I needed to change in and continue that process. Thank you, Lord. It's a relationship that we're exposed and uncovered. It's in relationship that we get to practice many of these spiritual disciplines that create these conditions to create a different person, to grow us. As Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about what? We are the body, right? It requires to be a part of a body. You got to be attached to the body. You got to be engaged the body, where we get encouraged, where we get confronted with our own habits. And really, we get confronted with others. It's like, how do I get to respond to somebody else who bugged the heck out of me? It's like, Christ being formed in me is going to respond differently than Scott. And I pray that they, as I grow, they become one and the same. That Christ formed in me is who Scott is. It's a continuum. There's a process like we talked about from the beginning. There's degrees that you and I, as we are connected in community of believers, as we confess as we learn. We're transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed. Not are transformed, right? But being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's why it's exciting to be around all different facets and say, I am not there yet. To have grace for people who are just starting out the journey. To say, I am so excited for you. You know, that God revealed this thing to you that maybe it's been 10 years since you walked through that. But to be excited for somebody just starting on the journey, because we're all in process. Those degrees, and we get to say, man, I am so glad you're more of a reflection, because the place where God called us to obedience, we're going to have influence that nobody else does. God's planted us in our marriage, with our kids, in our job, in our neighborhood, to have specific relationships that we get to reflect the image of God. Don't get discouraged if you messed up. Anybody mess up this week? I messed up this week. And I don't get discouraged. Like, woo, I didn't see that coming. I wasn't aware. Wow, I need to, when I feel the stress coming up, I need to realize that that's fear. That for me, I did the Enneagram. I'm a 3. And a 3, if any of you have done that, is a performer. And it's like, what? There's a pastor as a performer? I believe that. And I'm not, well, I guess I'm online, so maybe I'm a televangelist. But performers, really, there's some things that they like excellence and like done things well, right? There's a healthy 3 and there's an unhealthy 3 where you're more concerned about people being happy with what you're doing than who you are. And so I think about that community that helps me understand that there's some good things about who I am, but I don't need to be discouraged to say God wants to take those things that maybe can be get in the stumbling blocks to turn them to be assets. And then lastly, seeing Christ formed in us is for who? Is it for us? No, it's for the world. It's one of those weird kind of things. You know what Jesus said? He says, it is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. How many of you like to get good presents? We all do. But there's a blessing that comes when we give something good to somebody. Not only does it bless the person we're giving it to, but it actually makes us whole beings. It makes us, just like for me going up the gates, I look and evaluate my life. My most fulfilled moments is when I have personal relationship interactions every week. If I just do stuff, as much as I love projects, I will maybe accomplish a lot of things, but I'm not fulfilled. I'm most fulfilled is when I'm interacting with people and I look back on my week. When I went up and had a chance to go with my friend Frank and give up my Friday, I came back pumped up. I came back as like, oh man, I got to know Frank. I got to go and encourage the people up there serving. I got to take some stuff up there and bless them. I came back pumped up. Why? Was any of that for me? Yes and no. I gave all that stuff for other people's benefit, but I'm the one who benefited. We talked about being transformed in the likeness of Christ. It is for the sake of the world. Why did Jesus come down? He said He came down to save the world, to bless the world, to renew the world. What do you think, Matthew 18, if a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. It's a kind of a crazy thing that God would entrust His kingdom and people's lives to human beings. It's like, Lord, man, it's the miracle. As somebody described it, as God doesn't have a mission for the church. God created the church for His mission. And his mission is reaching the world with his love, reaching the world with his redemption, reaching the world with his peace and his hope and his goodness. Our transformation brings glory to God, and it brings us peace and fulfillment in the process. We would never experience that apart from being transformed. Any transforms that we experience is to be given away. As I discover God's forgiveness, I become forgiving. As I discover God's grace, I become gracious. As I discover God's truth, I give it away and walk it. As my faith grows, I become faithful. Spiritual transformation affects how I talk and what I do. A transformed life will do things that Jesus did. Show compassion. Act justly. Show mercy. God will never make us go to the doctor. We have to make the choice to go. And spiritual transformation is the same way. It's He won't make us grow. He'll say, here it is. You get to walk in it. And there's choices. It is one of those mysteries in that it takes us a choice to do things, but it's God's Spirit working in us that makes that change. There's nothing cooler than to hear people, if you're in close relationships, say, I sense a difference in you. And you say, it's because of the Lord. I'm making some choices to listen. And if you knew what was going on in my brain, I still got some thoughts that are racing around that aren't all God thoughts. But I'm taking them captive, and what I'm walking out is the result of Christ being formed in me. I just pray, we talk about the transformation power of the Word, that you and I will be good kids, that we'll have good nutrition, that we give our spiritual spirit, our transformation that's happening, good nutrients, good practices, that we'll recognize that there's some things that we don't understand, that God is doing good things even though we may not understand what they are. You know, and I pray just even as you're in relationship with each other, you know, they could say, man, you are still got this issue going on. No, you say, no, I can see a change in this area over here. Because guess what? They may not be ready for this part over here. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit, not the work of your mouth or my mouth, that people grow in. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning that we get to come and worship you. A place that we get to be transformed by your Spirit. Lord, I ask God that you would help us see the idols that we have thought was fulfillment and peace-giving and hope-giving for what they are. They're mute and they're deaf and they have no power. To say, God, I'm going to choose to follow after you. I'm going to choose to put my trust in you. And in that process, I will become more like your Son. I will become an image bearer of the living God. Lord, so I just think about what God says, that you do this, and Jesus was the first one resurrected in the image of you, God, as he walked that out so that he would be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. You know, that redemption that comes, that he's not ashamed to call us family. He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters because we're being spiritually transformed into the likeness of your Son. Lord, help us to walk in the encouragement of that. Lord, help us to walk in the truth of that. Lord, as we help our neighbor, as we listen to how we were to respond in this current season, Lord, as we love in this current political environment, Lord, that we would see something deeper that you're about, Lord. And that we'd be faithful to walk in that. In Jesus' name, amen.